whatever Jesus is talking about in these words from Luke's gospel, he certainly is not talking about seating arrangements or table manners. If that were the case, then we could surely find some verses about four-way stop signs or driving in the left lane on the interstate or maybe even some cell phone etiquette. But Jesus chooses the banquet table and seating arrangements to be the classroom to teach the lesson for today. I suppose that Jesus had noticed some persons competing for position and seating around himself, especially by those who wanted to be seen by Jesus and for people to see them with Jesus. He watched people who had forgotten some fundamental rules of good form and hospitality. And so what better time to teach the greater lesson than we find our best selves in humility? And that so very much depends upon how we treat and live with one another. Now, there's a prosperity gospel out there that preaches a different truth, that humility and sacrifice are merely means to an end, means to immediate and tangible rewards. You've heard it, and so have I. I gave God $100, and I got $1,000 in return. We're faithful Christians, and because of that, Billy made quarterback, and Andrea got a full scholarship and sits first chair in the flute section, and we took the whole family on a magnificent vacation to Hawaii, and the deal on our new house went through without a hitch. God is good all the time. A man told me once that he didn't understand what God was up to. We started coming to church, Steve, and we've been given money and volunteering, but our marriage is still rocky and our kids are still unruly and we're still having financial troubles. Somewhere he had heard that humility and sacrifice are merely a means to financial success in a harmonious family. Where in the world did he hear that? I don't think he heard it from Jesus. I think I know the lesson that Jesus is trying to teach us. I've tried to share that lesson at Wiggle Time when I was at Suncrest, hoping that we adults might catch the lesson too. I imagine you're familiar with Morgantown WVU traffic, and one Sunday morning at church, I mentioned the busy traffic around Suncrest Church, and that's when the kids took over Wiggle Time. It happens. One of the kids said that her mom had waved a woman into a long line of traffic on Van Voorhis, and the little girl said, "And the woman didn't even wave a thank you back to my mom." One little boy had helped an older woman with a shopping cart over at Kroger's, and she didn't even say thank you. And one little girl had held the door for a lady before church that very Sunday morning, and the lady didn't even notice. And I could tell the kids were a little offended, but we came to the conclusion that we should be kind and generous, not for a thank you, or for any other reward, but simply for the peace of being the people God calls us to be. The senior pastor of a large United Methodist church in Atlanta told the story about Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A. He was visiting their church. And hundreds of people had come to hear him speak, but before the doors were open, when folks were still lined up outside waiting to be seated, the senior pastor went into the auditorium to greet Mr. Cathy. He introduced himself and identified himself as the senior minister of the church. "And if there's anything I can help do for you," the senior pastor said rhetorically, "just call on me." And he did. He handed the senior pastor a big stack of coupons, good for a free Chick-fil-A sandwich, and he said, "Put these out on the tables if you don't mind." Good grief. Didn't he hear the man? He was the senior pastor. But this man gave the senior pastor a chance to view the banquet from the other end of the table. And I think he got it right. And yes, the senior minister put a few hundred coupons on the table. Jesus' words call us to humility. And humility has its own reward. It's the knowledge that we have fulfilled God's purpose for our lives. It's the assurance that brings peace to the soul and spirit, and not any down payment on premium seating at some banquet. Scripture tells us that our host may come and move us to a more exalted place, and then again, he may not. Perhaps the lesser seat might be our permanent place. I remember some moments of profound humility, moments that have helped define my childhood and some that inform my ministry today. In my childhood, John Moles was a member of our church. Mr. Moles was a Sunday school superintendent and one of the most beloved and respected men in our neighborhood. At 94, Mr. Moles was my high school Sunday school teacher and quite possibly the best Sunday school teacher I ever had. He held several important positions in the church, but it was in an unofficial position that he made the greatest impression on me. At the end of every worship service on Sunday morning, John Moles walked through the pews and collected the used bulletins and tissues and chewing gum wrappers and straightened the hymnals in the racks. 5 decades later, I have not forgotten that. I wonder if the children and youth and others with whom we share a pew are watching us the way I watched Mr. Moles. I don't know if Mr. Moles, a servant of God, was ever recognized or even thanked for that service, but his was a very common faith, but his reward was in faithful service. You see, there can be great peace in those lower places. But now comes the hard part. Having learned that we are called to live lives of humility and sacrificial service, to whom are we to be humble and to whom are we to serve? And the answer, as much as we like it to be, is not God. The answer is other people. Most of what we ever do about loving God, we do toward other people. The truth of this narrative from Luke's gospel is that when those banquet goers gave up those prominent seats, they gave them up to other people. In order to fulfill God's call on their lives, those diners had to respond with and through other people. There really is no other way. Well, so what, Steve? Well, it is our connection with and our service to others that we find our identity as followers of Jesus. Remember that most of Scripture, both the Old Testament and the New, is written to believers, and so very much of Scripture is directed toward how we live our lives together with other people within the community and within the church. We are called to live together harmoniously in service and hospitality. Take a moment. Take a moment today to recognize the people who are around you each day. What if we were to take a moment each day and really think about them and pray for them? Imagine just how those brief prayers might change us. These are our sisters and brothers, the people who walk with us along the journey. Earlier in Luke's gospel is a story of Jesus healing the Gerasene demoniac. And after the possessed man was cleansed, he wanted to go with Jesus. But do you remember what Jesus told him to do? He told him to go home. He told him to go home to tell of God's goodness at home among his own people. He wasn't asked to take his family to a new land like Abraham. He wasn't asked to proclaim the gospel among his enemies in the hated Assyrian Empire like Jonah. He wasn't asked to leave his family and his livelihood like the disciples. He was asked to go home and live and proclaim the gospel among the people who he knew and saw every day. Remember that we serve humbly and without qualification because of the commandment of God. There simply are no perfect people among us to be served. Have you ever heard of Will Campbell? Reverend Will Campbell was a Baptist minister, a Mississippi-born, Yale-educated leader in the civil rights movement. And in his wonderful autobiography, Brother to a Dragonfly, Will recounted the day his agnostic friend confronted him with a great challenge. "Define Christianity," he said, "in 10 words or less." And Will Campbell did it. And I take no responsibility for what he said. But Will Campbell said, "We're all bastards, but God loves us anyway." And while his words might seem harsh, he's essentially correct. We are all sinners, but God loves us anyway. And that is the world in which we live, the world of God's grace. But be careful lest we boast. We preacher types are sometimes the worst persons to attend funerals. I guess we naturally have a critical ear when it comes to listening to another pastor give a funeral message, especially if we know the person who's died. A district superintendent came back to do a funeral of one of my parishioners when I was in Fairmont. He said, "God loves us all, but God likes some of us more than others." And later in the same funeral, he said, "All of us here welcome in heaven, but some of us here well done." I think that to make those kinds of distinctions among us, to teach that there are different degrees of our standing before God, well, I think it's dangerous and I think it's vain. Some distinctions encourage pride and arrogance among us, exactly the opposite of the humility and sacrifice for which Jesus calls in our scripture today. But I'll have to give him credit. That DS made me think and reaffirm what I believe with my whole heart, that we are all sinners, all standing in the need of God's saving grace. Jesus calls us to look at all those around us through that light of the gospel. We aren't perfect, and we won't find any perfect people to serve, but we serve anyway. There was a woman in a church who was just full of herself, and over the years, this lady had lost some of her filters. And at the Wednesday night suppers, Evelyn loved to go from table to table and, in her words, offer a toast. She would raise her iced tea glass and say, "Here's to those who wish us well, and to those who don't can go to Savannah." And she would laugh every time as if it were the first time she had heard it. She would visit and toast every table in the fellowship hall, and then sometimes she'd start over, often stopping a second time to offer the very same toast. And the pastor tried to gently direct her away from the tables where visitors and prospective members were sitting. He didn't want them to be embarrassed by Evelyn's behavior. Evelyn's pastor did that for several months until one evening it hit him. What in the world am I doing? Am I trying to pretend that these guests and visitors that we don't have are, that, am I trying to pretend to these guests and visitors that we don't have a little craziness here? There probably isn't a family in the world without an eccentric aunt or uncle. But you're pretending that our church family is not like that. I'm trying to pretend that we're perfect. And so the pastor stopped and let the newcomers get a better look at their new church family. And the interesting thing is that pastor doesn't remember anyone ever leaving because of Evelyn. Well, the beauty of this scripture and of the Christian experience is that we are called by God to live lives of humility and sacrificial service. And we are called to live those lives right now, today, among the broken and damaged and eccentric people that we meet every day. You see, it is in that valuable human connection where we meet Jesus, and where we receive the peace that Jesus offers. Let's pray. Almighty God, for your grace and the peace that you offer us, we are grateful. Help us to understand that most of what we ever do about loving you and caring for you, we do through other people who, like us, are broken and simple. And Lord, remind us all that everyone is in need of your saving grace, and by your grace we are saved and find peace. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.